Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Wasilla City Hall. ADA Board meeting for Thursday, June 23rd, 2016. Let's see. We've got a few people in the audience today, mostly ADA, AEA staff. So, would you mind calling the roll, please?
Mr. Wilkins?
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Fred Parity, absent. Mr. Kennedy?
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett?
Here.
Mr. Brown? Ms. Brown?
Sorry. Here.
And Mr. Dick?
Here.
Here.
Thank you.
Would you continue with staff and the public?
Terry Webster, AEA.
Brett Kiefer, Northburn Bank.
Chris Anderson, ADA.
Mark Davis, ADA.
Jerry Jude, Department of Law.
Carson Rodrick, ADA.
Bob Jeffrey, ADA. Nick Stronian, ADA.
Jim Hemsap, ADA.
Jennifer Hunter, ADA.
Bert Warren, ADA.
Mark Gardner, Western Financial Group.
Dan Britton, Pentex.
Ontario, ADA.
Eugene Carl Hayman, Arithic MSL.
Bye. Jamie Newman, City Clerk.
Michael Lamb, ADA.
John Spriggs, ADA.
And those on the phone.
Brenda Applegate, ADA.
Mike Cassidy, ADA.
Bill Phelan, ADA.
Recorder.
Clint Kempinen, ADA. That's all in the ADA boardroom.
Thank you, Terry.
Fred Parity is on.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Welcome, Fred.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Next up we have is our agenda, so I'll look for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the agenda.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Has everybody had a chance to review the agenda? Any deletions, additions? John?
Anything? No,
all right. Any objections? With hearing none, the agenda is approved. All right, next up we have public comments. I will tell everybody that wishes to make a comment that limit your testimony to 3 minutes or less. We'd like to have your name, your affiliation, subject matter, which you're addressing. And I will start with anybody online. Is there anybody online with wishing to make a public comment? Anybody online? Nobody online? Anybody in the boardroom here wishing to make a public comment? Come on up. Please state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Someone's going to start the clock as soon as I speak.
There you go.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I reside in the Matsumba Valley. I represent myself. I follow the process used by officials for these public meetings, and if the appropriate process used for these public meetings, decision made by the governing body will more likely be in the public interest. Now, I attend a lot of meetings. Many people are aware of me and what I do from Anchorage, the state, and I've also attended a few state board commissions, including Alaska Public Office Commission. Now, I am concerned. I've done a basically cursory review of you, and the key thing is having the information available to the public before you have a board meeting. There's not one hard copy of this at this meeting. I understand this has been a situation for a number of years, and this is not appropriate. I'm hearing that there was a memorandum in the conversation I had from administration a few years back that advised them to cut down on cost by using the electronic, and but then has resulted in not even one hard copy in this room. Now, staff's making available a copy for me. I started making it before the meeting started, but this is not the way to start a meeting. This is a bad start. And also, this thing about public comments, you basically need to separate the issue of public comments. This is becoming more like an audience participation thing. And all the issues that are before the meeting, you can have 3 minutes to speak them all together and divide them up a few seconds apart. That's not giving a reasonable opportunity for the public to be heard. Also, I couldn't help but notice, and I went and looked at your bylaws briefly, and I couldn't help but notice this at special meetings, quote, a reasonable notice shall be provided to the public for any special meeting. That word reasonable is very bad. One day you think reasonable could be 5 minutes. One day. That's what's in your bylaws. And I'm disappointed, but not surprised. And I do hope that this gets corrected, what I'm saying. But I also encourage you all to connect with me. Now, when you hear from the public, people are going to have different views. Now, I refrain from having my personal view on situations and strictly deal with the issue of public process. If I start saying something on for you on a motion on this or that, then I've got a self-interest, not a public interest. Although I say that I represent myself, the more and more people are aware of what I do and really feel that I do represent the public, but in reality I keep on saying I represent myself. I give up that right, but you're not hearing that generally out there by anyone, but I'm doing that. And also footnote, and I'll leave with this comment, I've been doing this for a number of years. It goes back on my 5th year with Anchorage, and I'm on my 3rd year with the Valley. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you, Gene. Anybody else wishing to make public comment? Seeing none, public comment period is closed. Item number 6 is prior minutes for April 28th and May 19th.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to approve both the April 28th and the May 19th minutes that are presented.
Second.
Thank you. Has everybody had a chance to review the minutes? Any comments, corrections, clarifications from any of the board members? Any objections to approving the public minutes? Seeing none, those public minutes for April 28th and May 19th are approved. Next up is under new business. We have resolution L16-08, O'Malley Ice and Sports Center. You know, John?
Item 7A, loan resolution number L16-08, regards the purchase of ice authority of participation in a loan to O'Malley Ice and Sports Center, LLC. The loan will finance the acquisition of the O'Malley Sports Complex in South Anchorage. The sports complex is comprised of a 7,842 square foot ice arena and a 48,544 square foot recreation center with a trampoline park. The dollar amount of this participation is $7,119,840. At this time, I ask Chris Anderson to present and call on other issues.
Thank you, John. Chris, welcome.
Okay, I'll talk fast. Good morning. Well, John's given a good brief overview of this credit. The guarantors involved are Steve Agnew and Sig Jokiel. They've both been in the Anchorage community for a fair period of time. This would be for term financing of this project, and it supports approximately 2 permanent positions. The borrowing entity is managed also by Steve Agnew. He's managed this particular project for about 15 years. And the Anchorage market for ice hockey, it continues to be strong. It's very popular, northern sport, very dedicated, following in the Anchorage area. There's a demand for ice time for both kids and adults alike. And the market demand for gym time at the recreation center has been stable for a number of years. Basketball, volleyball, league affiliations with the Anchorage Sports Association use the gyms, and the trampoline park has been well received with growing demand since opening in the fall of 2015. We would take a first deed of trust on the project. We would also take an assignment of rents and a security interest in the FF&E, which is the furniture, fixtures, and equipment. The project's appraised at $13,230,000, and that gives us a loan-to-value of 67%. And the debt service coverage on this, the anticipated debt service coverage per the appraisal is 1.94 to 1. We've had debt with these borrowers before, but we currently have no outstanding debt. It's been paid off and the loans paid as agreed. there are no known environmental issues. The strengths that we saw in the credit. Is that on the anchor, Jim?
Hey, Fred, is that you?
I'm on mute, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, maybe it's from Anchorage. We're hearing Anchorage feedback from the office there.
No, we've got you on mute over here, but we're getting some knocking around here.
All right.
Okay. The strengths that we saw are the debt service coverage of 1.94 to 1, the loan-to-value of 67%. The new owners have a successful history of operating the project for the last 15 years, and the customer base for the project is proven and is well established. The one weakness that we saw in the credit was there's a fair financial strength with the guarantors, but they do not have a great deal in the subject of liquid assets. So mitigating that, we're creating a payment reserve fund for the loan, and it's going to be for both the real estate and the FF&E. And the fund that is being established will cover 6 months of payments. We've split it out to $320,000 for the real estate. That'll be put in over 3 years, starting with $100,000, and $190,000 for the FF&E, which will shore up the credit. In regards to portfolio diversification, currently we're at 1.3% of the total statewide portfolio in recreational-type properties, and that would increase to 3.4%. And in the Anchorage region, we're at 1.3%, and in the same type, recreational-type projects, and that would increase to 5.1%. So with this information, the staff does recommend this loan participation for approval. And we do have Mr. Kiefer here today, Brad Kiefer from North Rim as well.
Thank you, Chris. Questions from the board? All right. Thank you. Would you put the motion on?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I will move loan resolution L16-08 O'Malley Ice and Sports Center.
Second.
Thank you, Elaine. Terry, would you take the roll call, please?
Mr. Wilson?
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Terry?
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett?
Yes.
Ms. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Dick?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Next up is resolution G16-07, appointment of ADA interim assistant secretary treasurer. I'd ask Russell or someone to put it on the agenda.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I will move resolution number G16-07, appointment of ADA interim assistant secretary treasurer.
Second. Thank you, Elaine. Discussion. John?
Item 7, the resolution number G16-07 regards the appointment of Brenda Applegate as interim assistant secretary treasurer of the authority. During the time, Michael Lamb serves as interim executive director and acting secretary treasurer of the Alaska Energy Authority. Essentially, the separation of duties provided for by these interim appointments is in the public interest and in the best interest of the authorities. The effective date would be July 2nd, 2016, the same effective date for Michael Lamb's interim executive director appointment to the Alaska Energy Authority.
Just a question for clarification, John. Is there a termination date, or is this when it's called a interim? What is it annually, or does it have to be reaffirmed?
Currently, there is no termination date on the appointment, and it would be at the discretion of the board what action they would take from an interim status to any type of permanent status at a future date.
All right. Questions from the board?
Mr. Chair. John, what's Brenda's current employment status with the ADA and job duties, and how are those being filled?
So Brenda is currently the controller of ADA, and So, and she also works with different members of the shared services team that services both ADA and AEA, but with a heavy focus on ADA. And Michael and Brenda have been diligent about redistributing the workload and shifting the responsibilities to accommodate the new responsibilities that they're taking on.
Beth, any further questions? Terry, would you poll the board, please?
Mr. Wilkins?
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Fred Perry?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Terry. Next up under new business item on the agenda, item number C, the Interior Energy Project update. John?
Yeah, item 7C, update on the Interior Energy Project. At this time, I'd ask Gene Terrio and his team to present.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just quickly go over the different components of the IEP project to let you know that we do continue to make forward progress. We have the next quarterly report under the IEP legislation, House Bill 105, is due in early July, and I've got that document almost ready to go to Carson for printing to make it available to the legislature early July. On the issue of supply, we are nearing completion of a contract with a cook inlet supplier of natural gas for the proposed LNG plant in the Matsu area. The supply of gas will meet the immediate demands of the FNG existing customer base. The current supply for gas times out or ends in April of 2018, and so the most immediate need for gas is, of course, to make sure that we have gas to continue supplying those customers. However, we also want this gas supply contract to be able to support the proposed 3 BCF plant that will support an expansion of the customer base in the FNG system and the IGU system. And so that contract is being advanced to accomplish all of those goals. Right now, we believe we do have a gas supply contract that, when linked up with all the other key components of the supply chain, will deliver gas to a residential customer at the community target of $15 per MCF. On the front liquefaction front, we continue to advance the project, the commercial terms and technical design. We are currently waiting for feedback from Salix, our proposed partner, on the scope of work as part of the early works agreement. We expect to have information back from Salix sometime within the next couple of weeks. On the transportation front, with regards to continuation of the transport of LNG via truck, you're aware from the previous meetings that the test of the larger capacity LNG trailer was successful last fall. That has resulted in FNG purchasing that particular trailer that was used for those tests, but it also has prompted FNG to put in an order for 3 additional trailers from that manufacturer. And for Mr. Wilkins' benefit, the 3 additional trailers will be configured so that additional apparatus can be bolted on that would facilitate the potential pulling of a pump behind those trailers in the future. So we want to make sure that we preserve the ability to do that. If, in fact, that proves out to be economically viable in the future. There's also been some forward momentum with regards to testing the capability of the Alaska Railroad to move LNG. The Alaska Railroad has been working with Hitachi in Japan to gain access to 2 40-foot specialized LNG ISO containers that will be shipped to the state of Alaska to test the logistics of loading, moving, handling LNG in ISO containers and shipping them up into the interior via rail. The target for those test shipments is sometime in October or November because the ISO containers have to be returned to Japan by December. So that the railroad is very interested and has been really working hard to identify a way of testing that capability. It's my understanding that that will be the first shipment of LNG via train in the nation. And, of course, they secured the ability to do that last year from the federal government.
King?
Yes.
So these ISO containers, are they rail-mounted?
They will be an ISO container that then is lifted and put onto the flatbed.
Okay. So will they be loaded at the plant, trucked to the rail?
Yes.
Put on the rail?
Yes. And I'm not sure that the railroad has worked out exactly, you know, where they'll be staged and where they'll be loaded. The railroad really is taking that lead. The plant will just supply the product and then, of course, take it on the northern end, too.
And then when they get to Fairbanks, will they go to the siding?
It's my understanding at this point, the thought is that the siding near the plant is not really structured to take delivery there because it is such a temporary trial. They'll be placed onto a truck and taken to the facility to be loaded into the tanks.
All right. Thank you.
On the distribution front, there's been no change in the currently approved FNG rates for the existing customer base that appears to be working well. We have no plans for additional expansion of the distribution system during this construction season, other than working with the cities and DOT, where there may be open road work that might facilitate putting a piece of pipe in the ground. At that point, we would certainly take advantage of those opportunities. We continue to work with looking forward to the future consolidation of the FNG and IGU distribution systems. Due to the delay in advance of most of the components for the supply, the target for a plan for absolute integration of the two utilities has been delayed until later this calendar year. We continue to work with IGU on evaluating the cost and benefit and the timing of the building of storage and again, the engineering for the linking of the two systems. We just had a very productive meeting with IGU. Many of the teams, most of the team members flew up to Fairbanks so we could sit across the table with them, around the table with them, and discuss, again, the economics of the storage, the timing of the storage, the capacity of the storage. That meeting took place Tuesday of this week, and again, was very productive. On the conversion front, unfortunately, the PACE legislation did not pass the legislature this year. We ended up being one vote shy, and by that I don't mean one yes vote, but we just needed one final vote on the Senate floor. I want to thank Mr. Wilkin, Mr. Kennedy, and certainly Mr. Parity, board members for all sort of pushing to try and get that final approval lined up. It's my understanding as the regular session came to a close, there was a proposed final supplemental calendar. The PACE legislation was on that calendar, but the way things just sort of unraveled in the final hours of the regular session, that final supplemental calendar just never got adopted and voted on. I still do hold out some hope that because taking action to secure that final vote would take such a short period of time, that as long as the legislature is down in Juneau for special sessions, perhaps there may still be an opportunity to salvage that piece of legislation. If, in fact, that legislation does not go through this year, I think there still is an opportunity to work with the municipal governments in the Fairbanks area to do some of the pre-planning for implementation of PACE. The piece of legislation actually set out a framework and a timeline for the local government to work with local lenders, local businesses. It required production of a report. Some of that work still could be done if the municipal governments were willing to expend time ahead of the actual approval of the legislation. I think that would be time well spent. On-bill financing, which is a similar mechanism to the PACE legislation, the utilities, the two gas utilities in Fairbanks, IGU and FNG, because they are not RCA regulated, have access to on-bill financing. However, I have received expressions of interest from regulated utilities, RCA-regulated utilities, of interest to see a piece of legislation introduced that would clarify in Alaska state law that they would also be able to do on-bill financing. So we actually may see a piece of legislation to do that introduced in the 2017 legislative session. AEA continues to work on identifying sources of money that can help with energy efficiency and renewable energy applications. Conversion to natural gas, as I've indicated before, does qualify as an energy efficiency step because the appliances are so much more energy efficient than existing appliances that use fuel oil. At this time, I am waiting to have an opportunity to get together with Sean Scaling with AEA. He just returned from a trip to D.C. where he met with a number of officials with the different energy-related departments in D.C., and we believe there's a very exciting opportunity for us to perhaps through a partnership with AEA, get access to low-cost loan funds that we then would be able to offer through one of these financing mechanisms to assist with conversion to natural gas. The RUS just put out a solicitation for proposals on a new source of money, the Rural Energy Savings Program. The federal OMB calculated that based on an $8 million appropriation in the last federal budget, they have now $52 million to loan out at a 0% interest rate. The $52 million, that's nationwide, but we are very hopeful that that pool of money will be reauthorized in the next federal budget, again, giving us an opportunity to do some very attractive loan funds. And with that, Mr. Chairman, as I've indicated, all of these different items will be detailed in the next quarterly report, which will be made available to the public and the legislature shortly after the 1st of July.
Thank you, Gene. Questions from the board? All right, appreciate it. And that concludes item C. So item D, as I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
And Mr. Chairman, I move that the board enter an executive session to discuss confidential and financial information related to the Interior Energy Project, Brooks Range Petroleum, Mustang Operations Center, Ketchikan Shipyard, and Skagway Ore Terminal.
Dan Kennedy, second.
We have not taken any formal action on matters discussed while in executive session. Next on agenda is item number 8, Executive Director comments. John?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say thank you to the City of Wasilla for opening their facilities to us. The board had an opportunity to look at some of Ada's current investments in the Matsu Valley, which include warehouses, medical office and dental office facilities, Family Fun Center, Point McKenzie LNG plant, retail buildings that house Petco and Three Bears, and then also had the opportunity to meet and discuss potential future investments in the Matsu Valley. So thank you for that. Loan dashboard and reports and development project matrices are available for your review. Continuing education calendar, if board members are interested in attending a course, please contact Sherry Severson. And the next ADA board meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, August 10th, 2016 at ADA's office.
Thank you, John. So, next up is board comments. So do we have any comments? Gary?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank the staff for bringing forward the Vigor employment report. And for those that are new to the board, when we participated in the purchase of the Ketchikan Shipyard, the board expressed an interest to make sure that jobs that were there at the time were retained and indeed grown and not shrunk and moved off to other shipyards that Vigor owns. And the report shows that they have held their commitments to retain and to grow employment in Alaska, and for that I think I'm grateful and all Alaskans are grateful for that investment, and I thank them for the well-done report. Understand its confidentiality, but want to pass on my good wishes for their good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Dan?
Yes, I have a couple of comments, Mr. Chairman. I want to express my personal appreciation to this terrific organization for be willing to come out to the Matsu community and look and feel the economic development that's happening, just echoing John's comments, but I won't repeat those. And so thanks to the staff that did a great deal of work. My appreciation for the city of Wasilla to open up their city council chambers. And I had a great education talking to my colleagues on the board in the last 2 days. And thank you for the continued education and all that it brings to the state of Alaska and our community. And lastly, I want to thank staff for producing the Greater Wasilla loan portfolio that's happening in the revolving loan fund. It was a good piece of information. And in my opinion, Ada is doing a terrific job, not only in all parts of the state, but very specifically here in the Matsu Borough. Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask that my remarks be associated with the remarks of Mr. Kennedy, and thank you for your wonderful hospitality yesterday afternoon and last night. Thank you. I've enjoyed it very much. I've learned a lot in the last 24 hours. Thank you. And to the staff, too.
Anybody else? And as chair, I'd like to be off the board. Ada, I'd like to thank Wasilla. I'd like to thank for the reception last night and meet and greet a bunch of new people. Appreciate the tour. And Dan and his wife's hospitality last night. Look forward to many more opportunities out here in the Matsu Valley and all the exciting things that come with it. With that, I will take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second here.
Very good. Thank you.